all the volunteers who helped with everything to make this work as smooth as it did this morning. I'm having flashbacks to when I helped with elementary school plays. So, thank you all for helping with this. Do you know what a servant is? A servant is someone who helps others. In Mark 10, verses 35 to 45, it offered several reasons why we should be servants or helpers in our community. For the adults, normally that means at work. But as we are all children today, we're talking about at school, at home, and in our neighborhood in which God has placed us. Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. But what happened before Jesus said this? Why did Jesus just seemingly break into this unrehearsed speech all on being a servant? Well, a few verses before, the disciples and Jesus are walking to Jesus' neighborhood in Jerusalem. He's explaining to them what is going to happen to them there. He's telling them, I got some news for you. The religious leaders are going to arrest me. They're going to mock me. They're going to spit upon me, and they're going to kill me. But you know what? It's all okay, because 3 days later, I'm going to come back from the dead. Now, this isn't exactly a normal, everyday conversation. Jesus just told him he's going to be put to death. Yet in verse 35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, asked Jesus to let them have whatever they asked for. Just like a little kid tends to say, and we've all said it. Hey, Mom, hey, Mom, hey, Mom, just say yes, just say yes, just say yes. Never even asking what you actually wanted, just asking for the permission beforehand. The three disciples asked for permission ahead of time. And Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do for you? And they replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. Talk about being presumptuous. James and John felt they deserved seats of honor. I'm so glad none of us ever worry about things like that. We never worry about things like riding shotgun. We never ask to be the first in line. We never want our favorite choice for dinner. We never ask for just 10 more minutes of playtime. Okay, actually, we're just like these two guys. Jesus looks back at them and says, you guys don't know what you're asking. Do you drink the cup that I drink? Now, anytime you hear the word cup in the New Testament, it's always a picture of life or death. Nevertheless, James and John say, oh yeah, we can do that. Yet Jesus says to them, that's really not for me to allow. You have to bear in mind that this conversation is not just between the two brothers. There's these 10 spying followers of Christ nearby. For that reason, Jesus launched into that unrehearsed speech about service because he wanted to make it crystal clear that his disciples are to put others first. Service looks so distinctive, so different than normal. Because of that, when you serve, people take notice that there's something different about you and that you are different from most. Why should we take the culture we have at a church of volunteering and serving others and introduce it into our neighborhoods? Well, I'm going to give you four reasons why you should serve. The first is that serving promotes unity. Anytime you take the focus off yourself and place it on others, you are humbling yourselves. The foundation of unity is humility. Jesus says in Matthew 23, verses 11 to 12, the greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If you are arrogant, then your service is a waste. That's why the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. So use your gifts to his glory. Look for ways to be a servant at home, at school, or for your adults, also at work. Do things without being asked. Your labors of love count eternally. They can build unity with your neighborhood, which just means the people around you. There's another reason to serve. Serving promotes teamwork. I enjoy trying to look for ways to build new friendships. Serving can take a friendship and add the glue to it that is so necessary. Service is an expression of grace to someone, an undeserved gift that we just give to others, a part of the gospel. In fact, service is the language of grace. But you have to be ready to step up and serve at the drop of a hat. Jesus always looked for those opportunities, and we have to have eyes and ears that are always on the lookout and always listening for whatever needs might arise in our neighborhood. We have to be ready to respond. When we serve, we realize how much we need each other. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to share with others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. The Bible is telling us that God expects us to serve others. There are so many people who can use all sorts of excuses as to reasons not to serve. Well, I can't do anything in my neighborhood. Well, can you clean? Can you pick out a few weeds out of the gardens? Can you water flowers? While you're playing, can you stop and give someone a smile? And if you know them, ask how they're doing? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should go talk and help strangers unless mommy and daddy are going with you. What I'm saying is take the time just to be nice to the people around you. And then there's our third reason we should serve. Serving imitates Jesus. You want people to see his reflection in your life. That's why your example is so important. A wise old man named Albert once said, example is not the best way of teaching. It is the only way of teaching. In other words, if you want somebody to learn how to do something, you got to make sure you're doing it yourself. It can't just be you saying it. So you have to guard your example. People in your neighborhood are watching everything that you do. They're watching to see how you live. In time, hopefully, they will learn that you have fallen in love with this person named Jesus Christ, and he has transformed your life. You must always watch your example because others are watching you. John 13 illustrates Jesus' concern with service. It was just before the Passover feast, and Christ intended to talk about and show his disciples' love. At this time, Judas Iscariot was still there. He had not left to bring the religious leaders and soldiers to arrest Jesus yet. They had already sat down for the meal, but it had become quite obvious that somebody was absent. Back then, people didn't have regular shoes. They had sandals, and the roads were made of dirt. So anytime they went walking, their feet got quite dirty. Because of this, they had a servant boy who typically sat at the front door, and his job was to wash the feet of the dinner guests, and he was nowhere to be found. Maybe it was because it was Passover, and he was observing the meal with his family. But whatever the reason, no one washed their feet as they came in. Yet, while all this was going on, the disciples were having a discussion. They were talking about which one of them would be considered the greatest. Now, it's a different place, it's a different time, yet these disciples are still reverting to arguing over who's the greatest. It's kind of like when you're on a basketball team and you're arguing over who's the best shot. Simon Peter is saying, well, you know what, guys? I'm the guy that came up with that good confession, and I'm the guy who walked on water. His brother Andrew says, you know what I found, Peter? I think Jesus much more into humility. He values that over being an obnoxious person who always wants everyone's attention. And then James and John chime in. You know what? We're the sons of thunder. We could start a family dynasty. There are two of us. We're the greatest. Everybody was chiming in one at a time. How do you think the disciples would feel as each one of them was tooting their own horn, and out of the corner of their eye, they saw someone kneeling and taking off his outer garment, only to realize that the guy with a towel and a basin of water was the one they believed to be God's son. He put his servanthood into action. Since he had given this speech before, but they didn't seem to listen, he concluded the lesson by adding this phrase, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do these things. Here's the Son of God going from person to person, washing feet, dirty, smelly, calloused, and cracking feet. So let me ask you, have you ever been to a foot washing service before? Well, guess what? This morning you're going to get to participate. When the men get to your row, those of you at the end of each aisle, take the container of water and the towel. I'm going to ask everyone to remove your shoes and your socks, then turn to the person on your left. All right, I'm just kidding on that one. You can all breathe again. But take yourself back when for a split second you really thought that something strange was about to happen. My words triggered that emotion of uneasiness. You were uneasy either because you didn't want to handle the feet of the person on your left, or you didn't want them to see your feet, or most likely probably both. But it doesn't matter which camp you fall into. It made you feel uneasy because either of them have the same root cause. The fact that we want to preserve our dignity. It's a pride issue. We don't want to wash someone else's feet, and we certainly don't want someone to wash ours. Now, I led you to believe that was going to happen because I wanted to target those emotions of uneasiness. No matter which camp you fell into, you need to realize that by serving others, its very nature is neither glamorous nor glorious. So leave your dignity at the door because it's not about you. It's about him, and it's about others. Every time you serve, every time you do a modern-day equivalent of washing feet, you are imitating Jesus. In time, the people in your neighborhood may start to see the resemblance. If you serve the way Jesus Christ served, have you ever wondered how your servant's heart could soften hearts so that they would be open to the gospel? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. A man named Richard Foster said, there is a difference between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. When I choose to serve, I retain control. I retain control over whom I'm going to serve and when I'm going to serve. But when I choose to be a servant, I have given up all rights and all control. In other words, service is not just about adding another activity to our schedules. It's about being a servant in our neighborhoods where God has placed us. Which brings us to our last reason. We should serve because service changes us. If you serve because you were told to, then your attitude isn't going to be very pleasant. There'll be no benefit from that. You'll be the same person you always were. You'll be serving for the wrong reasons. But if you serve with an attitude of love, and if you sense that Jesus is the one who is receiving the glory, then the sky is the limit for what you can accomplish, and you will earn the right to be heard. It was Francis of Assisi who said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. In other words, if we want to spread the word of God to others, we need to do it through our actions, through how we act and what they see us doing, not just by our mouth. When you begin to serve others outside of these walls, you will never be the same. Now, this part is for the adults. I want to remind you of one more biblical truth. Jesus lives in your neighborhood. Jesus is the kid who just needs somebody to play catch with. Jesus is the old lady who just wants somebody to say hi. Jesus is that young couple who would give anything for a person with a healthy marriage to come over and encourage them and say, you know what? You can make it through this. It's okay. We'll help you. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Jesus Christ is in your neighborhood, and he's waiting for you to reach out and serve him. He's waiting for you to choose to be a servant. Not to serve just when it's convenient, but to serve when you are called to be his follower. You will never know how much your service can impact others in the neighborhood until you humbly pick up a towel and a basin of water and begin to wash feet. Now, children, I want you to remember, it makes Jesus very happy when we help others without being asked. Even if it is simply cleaning up after ourselves, our friends, or our family, he always wants us to remember to put others first. And what service truly does, other than just spreading his word through actions, it allows us to praise him. So we're going to close with our final song. So the kids are going to come up here and lead us in Praise Him.